Thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. We're going to be taking a look to start the program at how you can lower your risk of falling. The risk of serious injury from a fall is really too common as we age, and it's especially true in Wisconsin. You know what? We have the highest death rate due to falls in the entire country for people 65 and older. So we're going to be talking about how to lower those risks with our guest today. Back once again, Betsy Abramson. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging, and she'll talk with us about some of their programs and what can be done to reduce the chances of falling. And, of course, we'll take your questions and comments. What have you done to avoid falls? What would you like to know about the Institute for Healthy Aging? I hope you'll join in. Give a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Betsy Abramson with us by phone. Betsy, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Larry. Always nice to be here.
Well, here we are in Wisconsin with all, we're first in the country, but in terms of, for some things that we're happy about and for some things that we're not so happy about.
For sure.
Why are falls so deadly in our state?
Well, first of all, we have to acknowledge that we're very good at reporting. So it may be that we're just more honest and fully report falls than some of the other states do. But otherwise, I think there are additional issues here. First of all, let me say it's not the snow and the ice, because if that were true, the rates in North Dakota and Minnesota and Michigan would be high too, and they're nowhere near what our rates are. So we think it is our high incidence of chronic diseases, which also put people more at risk for falls, alcohol abuse, and obesity are also additional risk for falls as well. But probably a lot of it is the higher reporting.
Yeah. And you think about it, I don't know about obesity, but I think we're pretty high up in the country when it comes to the number of people who are obese as well.
Right, right.
And same with alcohol.
Right, and that includes older adults. You know, the rates of alcohol abuse by older adults, a recent article actually in the AARP magazine showed Wisconsin highest for rates of alcohol as well.
Yeah.
So that's two dubious distinctions we've got now.
So you think about falling and the fear of falling. I can think of it for a couple different ways, maybe from the mental side, maybe from the physical side.
Mm-hmm.
What about mentally? What does it do to us mentally?
That's a really good point, and there are some evidence-based programs that only address fear of falling. Our biggest program here at the Wisconsin Institute for Aging is called Stepping On, and it addresses both the risk of falling and the fear of falling. But as you've inferring there, Larry, a fear of falling will start a really bad cycle of what we call deconditioning, where folks who are afraid of falling means they're not going to, what's the best way not to fall? Not move. And that starts more atrophying and gets you so nervous that when you do walk, you don't walk with any confidence, and that will add to your risk of falls. Any of us who've ever been in the hospital or know a loved one, particularly an older adult who's in the hospital, they don't want you to move. They don't want you falling in the hospital on their watch, at all.
Yeah.
And after a couple of days of lying in that bed, you are much weaker. And the older you are, the faster that weakening occurs. So the fear of falling causes this vicious cycle of less movement, more isolation, more loneliness, more not getting out, and all bad things.
Yeah. And physically, I mean, I've known some, I can think back to when I was a younger guy, my best friend's grandmother lived with them and she broke her hip. And that led to somebody who was fairly vibrant who quickly just went right down.
The across the country, people, when older adults fall, 50% of those folks are dead within a year. If not from the fall right when it happens, from a brain bleed or an injury within there, or, you know, it's much harder to come back from a fall. You know, think of how often our neighbor kids and our grandchildren, you know, whatever, fall, brush themselves off, get back up. But it's much harder to go through that rehab and recover. It's a long slog.
Yeah, it is. Betsy Abramson, our guest today, she's the executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. We're going to talk about the institute a bit, but zeroing in on lowering your risk of falling, or maybe it's your parents, you know, who are elderly, and you want to help them out as well. That's another area that we really ought to be considering here too, is how do you help your older relatives?
Right, and I think that it's important to recognize that any intervention in falls, any intervention will help, but really it's best to have a broad, what we call multifactorial, look at all the major domains that increase your risk of falling. And those really fall into, four major areas. That is increasing your balance and strength, a home modification, a review of your home to look at falls hazards there and to remove and reduce those. A thorough medication review to make sure that the meds you're on are not inadvertently helping with issue A, but increasing your risk of issue B, which is falls, and then a vision test. It's very important for all of us, and especially older adults, to get a vision review every single year to make sure that the glasses we have that are great for reading or reading recipes or menus or in the house also are right for us when we're going downstairs, when we're walking some kind of distance or whatever. So all four of those. And you know, a lot of folks say, oh, I won't fall. I walk every day. Well, walking is great. It's great for, arthritis. It's great for a lot of conditioning and other things. But unless the exercises you're doing are strength and balance related and are scientifically proven, evidence-based, to be appropriate for falls prevention, then you're not doing the right exercises for that issue.
You can join in, too, as you listen to our conversation here. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org with your questions about this area or maybe your own experiences and how you've dealt with them. We'd love to hear that as well. 1-800-642-1234, email at ideas@wpr.org. Break for just a second here to talk about your institute, the
Sure.
Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. Tell us about the organization.
Great. Thanks, Larry. We were created by our state unit on aging and our state division of public health and the University School of Medicine and kind of the aging network here in Wisconsin. And the idea was to take all the good research and evidence-based programs that are developed over right a few blocks from you there, Larry,
yep,
at the University of Wisconsin, and to get those out and disseminated and spread around the state and increasingly around the country. So our flagship program is the Stepping On program, the falls prevention program that we brought from Australia, re-researched it, Americanized it here in Wisconsin, and is now offered by about 200 program providers around the state here. And anyone who goes to our website can find a Stepping On workshop near them, hopefully.
Good.
And at wihealthyaging.org. We also run programs in self-management of chronic conditions, of diabetes. We're bringing on two more falls prevention programs soon, one that was recently just researched here at the university called Tai Chi Prime. You know, Tai Chi is very mm-hmm. big right now.
Yeah.
And there are Tai Chi programs that are evidence-based for a whole lot of different health issues. Tai Chi Prime is evidence-based for falls prevention and for helping folks once they finish the class to keep doing Tai Chi on their own, with other friends or in their dining room, whatever. We also have programs in management of diabetes, self-management of diabetes, incontinence prevention for older adults, increasing your physical activity, and we're researching lots more in health literacy and yoga for fall prevention. and lots of other areas, medication management, that are address some of the most common issues amongst older adults to help folks continue to be healthy as we age.
And Emma just emailed to say, where was that again? Where do you find about those classes?
Great, Emma. You can, if you're comfortable on the internet, please go to WI Healthy Aging. That's, you know, www.withhealthyaging.org. And then up at the top, you'll see Find a Workshop, and you can look there. Otherwise, call your county aging unit or aging and disability resource center and ask them where the Stepping On workshops are that are close to you or when you can expect one to be on there. Because our major providers of our programs are our county aging units, aging and disability resource centers, public health organizations, public health departments, and actually healthcare organizations. We have wonderful healthcare organizations here in Wisconsin, and about a quarter of our programs are delivered in their sites and by their providers. So they're all over the place.
So let's say Emma or somebody else goes online and they look and they find, oh, darn it, they just started a class last week. I missed out.
Mm-hmm.
Could she still get involved or anybody else?
Well, we, using your precise example of 1 week, we invite people in the second week, but after that, you know, you've missed too much. But she should say to the provider of that or to the ADRC, please put my name down. The next class you have going, please call me. I wanna be in that class, and I'm gonna bring two friends because we all wanna stay vertical. So she should, you know, look to see where they are. And sometimes, you know, depending on where you live in your county, there's one over the line 15 miles away or so, and might be worth it too. But that's a good place to start.
I like the idea of bring along two or three friends too, because then you got somebody to go with and maybe have a little fun with too at the same time.
Absolutely. These are not, you know, lecture classes. It's 7 weeks, 2 hours a session. And if our facilitators are doing it right, and they do, then you're gonna hear the participants' voices more than the facilitators, because it's all about, you mentioned earlier, what can your kids do for you? Really, it's about managing your own risk. I know in my family, my older brother came once, walked into my mother's house, moved some planters, moved some towel racks, took some hanging things down from the ceiling and said, you know, Mom, these are all bad. You're relying on these things and you can't have these rugs. Put them all away. The minute he got back on the plane, she went to the garage, got them all back and put them all back down again. Because it's, you have to learn and want to do it yourself to manage the risk. You know, it's not something that can be done to you or for you. It's not going to last. That's why all of our classes have a not-so-secret sauce. Our magic ingredient is behavior change. And folks during the course of the class think, well, I can do this. And look at, you know, Emma across the room there, she said she went through and she called her son-in-law and he came and installed tight grab bars in her bathtub. And she says she feels more secure now. I don't have a son-in-law, but I have a handyman, or, you know, I can call this or that. Or so-and-so said that she moved those platters that she uses all the time from the top shelf to the lower shelf because now she won't risk having to stand on that stool to get it. Or so-and-so went to the pharmacist and had him review this and asked about these meds, and now I take them at a different time, and I'm not so dizzy at night. Don't have to worry when I'm, you know, getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. So they problem-solve their own issues and realize at the end that really the source of knowledge is right within them and their three friends that they brought and all, because they learned to use what we call the preventive framework.
Betsy Abramson, our guest today. Lots of callers online.
Great.
To talk with. Yeah, and we'll take those calls. Betsy is executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. And just a reminder, Nigel O'Shea is our engineer today. Jill Nadeau, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at lowering your risk of falling, or maybe it's your parents' or your grandparents' risk of falling, with our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller, Betsy Abramson, our guest from the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. Betsy in Fitchburg has a question. Let's go there. Betsy, thanks for calling.
Good morning. Love your name, Betsy.
Thank you.
2 weeks ago, my husband was going out for a walk, and he felt a little lightheaded and turned around. The next thing he knew, he was on a gurney in the ambulance going to the ER. And they did all kinds of checks there, and he's been seeing doctors ever since. And we have had no success in finding out what caused this fall. His blood pressure was taken, and his meds were checked. And I'm just wondering if there's anything else you could... Oh, he had a pacemaker, too, and that was checked, and his vision was checked, and it's 20/20. So is there anything else you would suggest that we explore?
I'm not a physician. Let me be real clear about that. And this sounds like it was kind of a odd medical thing. Let's hope it never happens again. Let me ask first, how's he doing now? Is he?
Well, he's extremely black and blue.
Aww.
He had 21 stitches on his face and the inside of his mouth. He's on a blood thinner, so that's why, you know, the black and blue spots are,
sure,
you know, are going to be there for a while.
Right.
But he's feeling really good, and after shadowing him walking for about a week, I feel now that he can walk by himself up and down stairs and would not use a cane, and he's doing really well.
Okay.
Were there steps down to the, as he left the house? Did he use a handrail?
No. He was on a very flat surface.
Okay. Was he dehydrated, maybe?
That was another question that I asked him, because he'd been on campus all day.
Mm.
And he said, oh, no. He said, I took my bottle along, and I drank it.
Okay. Well, the only other thing, it sounds like you're pursuing doctors. I don't know which kind or where, but right here at the University of Wisconsin, we do have a falls clinic where they do a very thorough review in all those domains I talked about. You know, do a thorough medication review and vision and strength, and so you might want to pursue that. But let's hope this was a crazy one-off, but I think you're absolutely right to pursue everything possible and make sure there isn't some underlying medical problem there.
Good luck, Betsy. Thank you so much. Could even be food, maybe if you missed a meal or something.
Right, or doubled up wrongly on a medication, didn't realize he had, or skipped one.
Yeah, something. Could be a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Marie in Jefferson will go to you now. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Marie.
Excuse me. Yes, I'm calling because I have one hip replaced and two knees. And after I had my hip replaced, I've had trouble with walking with my gait. And one doctor said at one time it was a Trendelenburg gait. And I've been trying to do things, hip drop. I've been trying to do things that I can still do with walking. My other exercises I do as prescribed by therapists. So when I'm exercising and by walking, I'm wondering if it's better to use two supports, like two poles or two canes, to evenly put pressure on both of my legs and my hips. I'm just never sure if that's a good thing. And I always, when I go out, I always walk with a cane because I just don't trust it.
And the cane makes you feel more confident?
Yes, it because it's my weakness is on the opposite hip, the one that didn't get replaced.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Are you currently being treated by a physical therapist?
I was, and got good therapy, and now it's up to me to do. Mm-hmm. And I do my exercises that I've been taught. I'm very, and my knees are wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And my hip is wonderful. It's just my gait that I'm having trouble with.
Hmm. It sounds like you're not entirely comfortable managing it on your own, and you could use some reassurance that you're doing things the right way and which sticks or, which poles to use. So I would encourage you to go back to that physical therapist and say, I know you said that I should be on my own now, but I have a few more questions, and they will watch you do your gait. I have a good friend who's a physical therapist, and whenever I'm with her, she's always pointing out older people to me and says, they're using the cane in the wrong hand, that walker's too short, this is this or that. So I would encourage you to go back and see if you've strengthened things up, that you should switch things around, or if they have a different set of exercises. But As Larry alluded to at the beginning, a lot of dressing the fall is in your confidence level, and you sound like you're a very good self-manager who will follow and adhere and be very, as they say in the medical world, compliant. So I would go back for another visit, just a little check-in to see if they have any, you know, corrections to you and reevaluate what your gait's like now that you've been so dutiful about doing all your exercises.
Yeah, and a lot of times I know I have physical therapists on the program on a monthly basis, and, and one of the things they say is that if you followed the therapist, your therapist's exercises over time, they oftentimes need to change because you've strengthened certain areas and you need to adjust. So that's another good reason, I think, Marie, to go back. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Marie.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Richard in Madison, your turn. Hi, Richard.
Hi, I love your show.
Thank you.
I am currently cross-country skiing at Olin Interval Park in Madison, but I stopped at the top of a hill to talk to you.
Okay.
And I'm 70. I walk pretty much every day. I cross-country ski. I ride my bike. I still rollerblade occasionally. And I'm wondering if I'm doing enough. I usually don't walk downstairs. I kind of run downstairs holding the railing, but I go down pretty quick. And I think that all really helps my agility. And up until about a year ago, I played volleyball and was diving and that kind of thing. And never really, I would get shoulder injuries and rolled ankles and stuff like that. So I finally gave it up. But I'm wondering if there's anything else I should be doing.
Again, congratulations to you. It sounds like you are taking good care of your heart there with all of the hearty exercise you're doing, and smart to be out cross country skiing and carry your phone with you in case something happens. I don't know, you didn't mention whether you're on any medication, so I would definitely make sure you have a med review if you're, no matter whether you're on 1 or 100, and point those out. You know, the more medications you are on, the greater your risk of falls. And you might look online for some of the different tips about home modifications to make sure that your home is not causing any risks, that you're not putting the dog bowl in the wrong place or racing for a landline phone with cords, if you still have such a thing, and looking at those deals. But as I mentioned earlier, the kinds of exercises that we do for our heart are not necessarily the same ones that we do for falls prevention. Now, it sounds like you're doing a lot of exercise that does require good balance, the cross-country skiing, of course, and strength. So I would definitely bring this up with your physician the next time you go in for your annual review. But at this point, it sounds like the medication is the most important thing to look at. And you might consider some of the other balance and strength exercises just to make sure that what you're doing in the rest of your exercise routine is that you've got this part covered as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Keep up the healthy aging there.
Yeah, that's really great, Richard. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Mary in Pewaukee, we go to you now. Hi, Mary. Mary, are you with us? I think she is, but she
sounds like she has her radio on.
Yeah, it sounds like she's got her radio on. Mary, are you there? If not, we will we'll hold her on, keep her on hold, but we'll go to Diana in Madison. Diana, hi, thank you for calling. Diana, are you there? Diana? Nope, we lost Diana. Well, let's go back to Mary then. Mary, are you with us now? Guess we lost Mary too. Or she's listening to the radio and not doing like Jill Nadeau told her to do, which is listen on the phone.
Okay.
You can join in too, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Let's talk a bit about the Stepping On program.
Sure.
Tell us kind of what's involved with it.
Great. Yes, as I mentioned, it's a 7-week workshop That's facilitated by two leaders who've been through 3 days of leader training about that, about falls prevention, and are trained both in the curriculum of the of this evidence-based program and in group facilitation. It's been proven to reduce falls by 31%. By people who complete the program, and it brings in 4 guest experts over the course of the 7 weeks to address those 4 domains that I talked about of balance and strength exercises, medication review, vision, and home modification. A physical therapist comes in 3 times to lead the exercises and to show folks how to advance them, if it's too easy or how to make it harder by putting on ankle weights or more repetitions. If it's too hard, how to scale them back and then grow with them. A pharmacist comes in once and talks about all those medications. As I mentioned, the more meds you're on, the greater risk of falls, particularly some, and I think you and I talked about this once in September, Larry, what we call FRIDs, F-R-I-D, falls risk increasing drugs. So drugs that are more likely to risk to increase your risk of having a fall. As our chief medical officer says, you know, we see medication bottles all the time that says, don't take if operate or don't operate heavy machinery while take this or don't drive a car. They should also say don't walk, because what it's saying is your balance is going to be off from taking this medication. So people in the workshop learn to evaluate those meds, to learn how to approach their doctor and say, could you give me something else for this condition that doesn't also increase my risk of falls, or should I take it at a different time, et cetera. They also hear from a vision expert who shows them how you can in both the importance of getting that annual review, how it's important to wear white at night, how to not to have different hazards in the home that will get you mixed up, and how your vision can affect all of that. And so it's very group oriented. It's not a support group. It's a kind of a group problem solving group, mm-hmm. and they review all those things that I mentioned. And as we mentioned, with or without those two other friends, it's fun. People really learn a lot and become much more aware, and can then proselytize to all their friends. Because, and I want to emphasize this that you said at the top of the hour, Larry, falls are very, very common amongst older adults, 1 in 4. But the key thing to remember is they are not normal. It is not inevitable that you will fall as you get older. Your hair will probably go gray, but there's not anything you can do to prevent that. But
you can prevent a fall.
You can prevent a fall, and that is really good news. And our science on this is getting better and better. And these evidence-based practices and evidence-based programs are out there for the public, because there's, terrible numbers. Wisconsin spends over $1 billion a year on falls in hospitals and ED visits, not to mention Medicaid, medications and home care afterwards. And as you indicated, once you fall, then you're at risk for a second fall. So we really want to prevent that first fall from ever happening. More people die of injuries from falls in Wisconsin now than they do from car accident injuries. And the great majority of those folks are indeed over 65. Most of them happen in your home, like you mentioned, not out in the ice and cold. And they're a huge reason. 7 out of 10 people who were hospitalized in Wisconsin because of a fall were 65 or over, and it's a huge, puts you great at risk for short or long-term nursing home placement. So let's prevent them.
Let's prevent them. Well, we have Mary from Pewaukee back. Mary, hello.
I am here this time. Sorry about that. And, my point was that I even fell once, but it was snow with ice underneath. But it was just this last winter, and I didn't hurt myself. And one of the reasons, I believe, is I do like to walk. I like to exercise. I go to the gym.
Great.
If you strengthen your muscles, they're protecting your bones. And my daughter showed me about balance some while ago, and I actually can do standing on one leg for 2-3 minutes when, you know, looking at a certain object, which helps hold your balance. And then the walking, and then don't forget to ask your neighbors to take a walk or get them active when the weather's not inclement.
Great.
Yeah, elderly neighbors, helping Great. Elderly neighbors. Are there other things you can do with to help elderly neighbors?
Well, you can, right, you can, you know, right, shovel their walk, make sure if the newspaper kid throws the newspaper too far away and you're out, get it closer in. It's amazing how many people think, well, I don't need to put on my boots or my good, you know, whatever shoes. I can just jump down there and grab the paper and, oh, boy, you know, suggest that they get a handrail down their steps and do the grocery shopping for them in the bad weather and, you know, help clear paths.
You know what I do, my walk in the morning? One morning I was out and I noticed a lady with a cane going down her steps to get her newspaper. And now when I go by there in the morning, I pick the paper up and I put it on the handrail for her so she doesn't have to go outside.
Exactly.
It's a small thing, but...
No, you know, my mom did that once. She didn't have a handrail, and she just thought, well, she could just go in her slippers and just reach down to get there. And, of course, her head went down, and the rest of the body fell afterwards. So she didn't have a son-in-law who could put one on, but she got a real handicap man, and right, the handrail, but having somebody put it right inside your in your door is going to be better.
Mike in Minocqua, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Larry. How you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call.
My question is if she understand or knows anything about yak tracks. Yak tracks are like a oily
thing
that you put on your shoe,
mm-hmm.
and what do you think of them? And I know that one thing, they're a little dangerous if you're indoors with them because they slide, but indoors, they're really helpful.
You know, we actually show in every Stepping On workshop, there's a display that's there, and the leaders swap out items in the display every week depending on what the issue is. On vision week, there's more vision assistance items, and on medication week, they're doing more about medications. But the Yak Tracks, or another brand of them, are, as you mentioned, as Mike mentioned, these things you slip onto your boots or your shoes, and they have grippers on them, so they're really good in the snow and ice. They are not good in your house. So what we recommend to people is to put them on a pair of boots or shoes that you're only wearing outside and keep them on. Then you don't have to think, oh, I'm just going to the end of the road. I don't need to put them, you know, end of the driveway. I don't need to put them on this time. They become part of your shoe from essentially, you know, November to April here in Wisconsin. So we're big believers in those Yak Tracks. I have a set myself, and they are really helpful in gripping so that you don't slip on slippery snow or ice. Thanks for mentioning that.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. I believe he also wondered if people should practice getting up from the floor.
Absolutely. Another good point. And one of the things that happens in Stepping On that shocks people is the very, it's either the first or second session, everybody gets down on their on the floor. And people are like, what? I thought I was here to prevent that. But falls will happen. And we want people to know how to get up from a fall. And, you know, spoiler alert, it's not by hanging on to that glider or chair on wheels that's going to, you know, fly away from you as you grab onto it. So we show people how to safely get up from a fall, how to wait, catch your breath, roll onto your side, and what the methods are. And everybody practices standing up from a fall and learning how to do that. And it's amazing. People who've never had a fall tell us, you know, I remember one sweet story about a woman who had a photo album of the early years of her life that her kids had tucked under the bed for her, and she'd been really eager to look at it, but she was afraid if she went down, got down on her knees to get it, she'd never be able to get back up again. But once she learned how to get up from a fall, then she sat down, pulled the photo album out from under her bed, put it up there, and then she could easily stand up again because she learned that in the class. So learning how to get up from a fall is really important.
Diana in Madison, your turn. Hi, Diana.
Hi. Yeah. I am 65 years old and was a special ed teacher for 38 years and retired, and 4 months later fell. taking some tomatoes downstairs and severely injured my back. And I've been rehabbing it, chronic pain for 4 years, and done physical therapy classes. And, you know, I've been doing pretty well, but my daughter, who's a physical therapist, was home over vacation, and we were at a movie, and it was, you know, very dark at one point, and I was trying to get back into the seats, and there were no obstacles, there was nothing in the way, but I became very tentative because, you know, the way I'd learned in my classes and with core training and whatnot was, you know, have things that you know you can hang on to or where mm-hmm. you can, you know, manage. And that was gone, and that was not there. And, you know, she was kind of, you know, just observing best she could. And when we got home, she mentioned that what I would probably benefit now at this point, since I've, you know, gotten to a point physically where, you know, I'm quote, about as good as I'm going to get, was mm-hmm. a neurological physical therapist that you go through exercises that literally put you in different positions of training different parts of the brain so that you are kind of taxed to have mm-hmm. to learn. And I'm sure you know about this, but I got in touch with my clinic, and they didn't know exactly, I don't know if we don't have anybody who isn't labeled or identified or specializes in that particular area, but there seemed to be some difficulty in class or finding a place for me to go so that I could do that. I've had several physical therapists, but they sort of traditionally work through you know, core mm-hmm. and strength training, and not so much the neurological piece. So I was wondering if you have any ideas on how I could or where I could go to find someone.
UW Hospital, the UW, I know for a fact, has a neurophysical therapist.
Mm. I go to Research Park, so this would be at the hospital itself.
Well, if you go to Research Park, you should be able to, if you talk to Lori Tyne Brody there,
yeah.
or she would be able to direct you right to the person.
Okay.
I'm afraid I don't know anything about that, but one thing I will tell you is if you had been in the Stepping On class and you had brought that issue up, the facilitators would have said, now what could she have done right then and there in the movies? And people would have brainstormed with you, and they would have said, did she carry a flashlight in her purse? And they would have said, well, what about taking out your phone? I bet there's a light on your phone. And then, you know, it wouldn't have been an all blackout. Or, gosh, if you're nervous, why do you have to get back to that seat? Sit down wherever there's an empty seat, finish watching the movie, and wait till the lights to come back on. So, you know, just to not do, not have to put yourself in that situation. So a lot of problem solving in those different situations that you now find yourself in that were easy before, but ever since the terrible tomato accident, you know, is that gift that keeps on giving to you. So good luck to you in finding the right therapist. And,
well, thank you very much for both those suggestions. Bye-bye.
Yeah, okay. Bye. Appreciate it very much. And here we are out of time. Betsy, the time always flies when you're with us. I want to thank you so much. And again, for people who want to maybe take a close look at these Stepping On programs, they're mm-hmm. all over the state. Where do they go?
They should either call their county aging department, their aging unit, or their aging and disability resource center within the county government, or they can take a look on our website to see if there's one coming up in their community, and that's at wihealthyaging.org, www.wihealthyaging.org, all one word there.
Betsy, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Larry. Be well, everyone.
Betsy Abramson is the executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. You know, you just kind of get in a good mood listening to her. She's positive, and she knows a lot, certainly, of what she's talking about. That is for sure. Well, I know a couple of other guys who know a lot about what they talk about. That's Mad Dog and Merrill. And coming up next, we're going to be taking a look at this coming Super Bowl and some grilling maybe associated with it. That next, here on the Ideas Network, I'm Larry Mueller.